Welcome to another episode of Pault on Power, Power System Design's podcast on the latest in power and power design. I'm your host, Alex Pault, and today I've got Oliver Diaz. He's the CEO and president of Fuel Effects. They're a Houston-based multimedia and interactive application firm. Now, you may be wondering, well, let me say hi to Oliver and bring him in first. Hi, Oliver. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Alex, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine. What I was about to say to the audience is that, you know, people may be wondering, why do I have a media company involved in a discussion on power? And what I'd like to answer with is, when you think about the smart grid and you think about where we're going, everyone keeps thinking about the infrastructures and the technologies and the equipment, but the bottom line is it has to be maintained, it has to be serviced, it has to be monitored, it has to be managed, and your company has a solution for that. Isn't that right?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. You know, I think when you get down to it, communication is about knowledge and information and empowerment. So our visualizations and our applications are used to help people do their jobs better, help maintain facilities, but also on an executive level, help with business intelligence and understand what's going on and what can be optimized and tweaked and really advance the organization as a whole.
Mm-hmm. Well, big data is definitely a part of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the bigger the data gets, the harder it is to wrap your brain around it. And that's sort of one of our big sort of methodologies whenever we do anything, whether, you know, it's a simple, you know, 2D visualization that goes into, you know, investor relations material, or if it's an interactive augmented reality application that allows you to sort of see in the environment around you whatever digital information needs to be overlaid in real time. It's being able to see the forest for the trees and the trees for the forest as you need to, getting the information and having it appear and accessible when and where you need it, and having it be accurate and applicable to whatever you're doing.
Mm-hmm. Well, you probably have some examples where you could give us an application space within, you know, say, for example, the grid infrastructure or power, you know, systems or industrial systems infrastructure where that would really be beneficial.
Yeah, I think so. You know, we've done a lot of work with groups that have large-scale industrial refineries or other sort of industrial facilities where different bits of equipment or different technologies need to be sort of accessed and overlaid in the real world so that as they walk around the facility, they can see, you know, how hot that tank is, how much chemical is in that tank, or they can move on and see how much power is going through a cable, or what type of information. It really allows you to access the digital world and overlay it on top of the real world, and meld the two together. And it can be something as non-technical as security information, to something as technical as getting measurement data and readouts and things like that in a sort of simulated environment.
Mm-hmm. So almost like the control room in the Matrix, where they're all just sitting in benches, but in their mind's eye, it's a massive array of data and screens and dials and virtual devices that they could reach out and interact with.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, I mean, I'm a huge science fiction fan, and I think a lot of engineers are. I think that's a lot of the reason why people get into the sciences. And you know, for a long time, we've been talking about holodecks and holo rooms, and we never really thought that maybe it was just about enhancing and overlaying the environment around us with the information we need, you know, when we need it. And so, you know, you can imagine a technician being able to go through a facility and have some sort of preventative maintenance program running in the background that's feeding him data on what pieces of machinery or what pieces of equipment need to be maintained, replaced, or repaired.
Mm. Well, Oliver, you know, you could almost make the argument, well, I shouldn't say argument, an analogy, that the differences between, say, a self-driving car that takes all of this sensory data and makes its own decisions about how to move the vehicle, and a system that takes those sensors and provides it to the driver as an augmented input to allow the driver to make better decisions about driving and become an enhanced driver. So you could almost look at it as an augmented reality control system is more of a human plus as opposed to a totally automated control system, which is then just machine plus.
Yeah, I think so, and I think that plus is really, again, melding the car and the human being closer together. And to take your example, a second sort of level would be the person who owns the car you know, if something goes wrong with the car, being able to pop the hood and look at the inside of the engine and under the hood and see what exactly might be wrong and have that data at its fingertips. And you know, that sort of information really empowers even the most untechnical person to be very technical. So you can imagine what a person that's technically able to do with that information, and having it at its fingertips when and where he needs it is very powerful.
Mm-hmm.
So the other thing we did, and it's not just about information, it's about visualization. I think that's really where we really step in and where we're a little bit more unique. For instance, we're going to be talking with some groups that are involved with NASA about who routinely uses augmented reality with their heads-up displays and things like that to sort of get information. But what we also do is implement sort of a 3D mechanism to it. So we make things appear or make things disappear so you can see inside equipment and see what's going on and visualize almost with a superhuman, superhero sort of ability what's going on behind what you're looking at. And that's really powerful and really important. That way, not only does the maintenance technician know he needs to sort of replace this pipe because it's corroded, but he also can sort of see inside the pipe and see where it's corroded and can digitally sort of purchase the pipe from their vendor and know when it's going to be coming in and everything else. So it's really that integration of multiple operations and the information and the visualization of the tools that he needs and how to, and then of course how to replace it once he has that piece that really makes the visualization come full circle.
Or to extend your analogy a little bit further, have the company reach into their inventory and ship the part while he's already looking at the broken part.
Exactly.
So by the time he finishes unbolting it, the new piece is sitting there.
Exactly. And even if he didn't know how to unbolt it, we could show him how to unbolt it. It could magically sort of unscrew itself by overlaying these 3D images on top of the piece itself, and also show him what sort of safety equipment he might need, and so really what you're getting is you're from our perspective, you're really blurring the line between education, procedure, and knowledge, and really making an experience that people feel a lot more comfortable going through these technical procedures and things like that.
No, you're absolutely right, Oliver. And instead of going further down that discussion path about how that may erode skill sets required for jobs, I'll go the other way and say, how do companies get involved with your technology? What support do you offer companies that want to integrate your technology into their solutions and provide these value-added systems?
Mm-hmm. I think one of the nice things about our company is, we're multimedia specialists, but at the end of the day, we're almost half engineers ourselves, and we've had to be to work in the energy industry because, I think one of the things that keeps, a big barrier of entry to the industry as a multimedia company is just technical knowledge and knowing how to leverage that knowledge in the right way. So we're very good at that, and we come in with our team of, we have some consultants that have to do with instructional design, with business intelligence and information technology, and then the third group is sort of a marketing and communication sort of side of things. And we help develop these pieces that serve all of those functions, right? Because sometimes, from a selling perspective, educating your client on your processes or your procedures and your technologies are really what sells it, and helps people understand and get on board with, your smart grid technologies or your green technologies or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
So these pieces serve not only to sell the company and the technology because it educates them, but also to help people understand it. So we come up with these applications that basically have very fit-for-purpose uses that integrate with different technical assets that they might have. And these could be people assets, they could be online assets or software assets. And to deliver that information when and where people need it. In the augmented reality realm, it sort of comes into being in two different ways, generally. The first one is creating a sort of a micronized version of a very sort of macro subject matter, like whether it's a facility or a city that can appear on anyone's desk just by picking up their iPad or their iPhone or their Droid device or what have you. They can look at a target and have a virtualized model, real-time model of their facility or system appear on top of their table and allow them to sort of almost have this sort of godlike perspective but being able to see again that forest and then zoom in and see the trees individually and click on things and have access to real-time information. So it allows you to really visualize things on a very large scale. And the other way we do it is by helping people in the facility itself visualize what's going on around them. So again, looking at that tank and moving forward with different procedures or processes that they might have in place. So really, a lot of it has to do with discovery and understanding how the technology can be applied, and then it just kind of turns into this sort of fact-finding and discovery process where we learn about the different software systems, how to integrate with them, and model out the facility or do, 3D scanning of the facility so that we can tag it appropriately and create this interactive application that is fit for different purposes. And generally what we find is once you sort of have this asset in place, there's a lot of other technologies and other data that you can sort of work into. It almost, you can almost think of it as like your own augmented reality application store, right, where, you could click a button and you could get information on the facilities for wayfinding, right, for safety purposes.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could click on another button and get information on, what's flowing through the facility, the energy, the information, or there could be a maintenance button. So, again, once you have this virtualized version of your facility, you can integrate it and make it intelligent in a number of different ways based on what you need.
Got it, Oliver. So, do you have any final thoughts for our audience before we close out the episode? Make sure one of them is your URL.
Okay, well, the company's URL is fuelfx.com. That's fuelfx.com. And I think, my final thought would be is that augmented reality for us is really going to be the communication channel of the future. It's going to be the next TV, and there's some really exciting applications. And, we really want to help our high-tech and energy clients sort of move forward with that as quickly as possible because it really helps them more than anyone else because the subject matter is so technical and because there's so much complexity that goes into that knowledge base that they could leverage this technology in a number of different ways.
Excellent. You're absolutely right there, Oliver. So I'm really glad we had a chance to have you on board so you could talk about this because it's a force multiplier. It's not the solution itself, but it's a good way to help make sure the solution works better.
Exactly.
So I'd also like to thank the audience for taking the time to be with us today because obviously we wouldn't have a show if it weren't for you all out there. Tell your friends. Again, Oliver, thanks for being with us. And we'll drag you back in a few months and let's talk about the state of the art. How's that?
Absolutely. My pleasure. Thank you, Alex.
You're welcome. Take care now, everybody. This is Alex Paul for Paul on Power. Have a great day.